Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Earlier this week, Claire Tippins shared a princess nickname generator, 3 pictures of her dog wearing a tutu, and 2 online quizzes, including, what candy is your dream castle made of? Claire, your sharing has tipped the sugar scale and turned into oversharing. But have no fear, princess. Geico has something worth sharing with your internet kingdom, like how you could save hundreds on your car insurance just by visiting geico.com. No magic wand required. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Total Spotlight Show. I'm the host of the show, Neil Haley. You can go to my website, Tolcher.net, for more information. Twitter, Tolcher, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, Total Tutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, and Google Plus, Neil Haley, also on Periscope, at Total Tutor. The anniversary week, as we continue with some unbelievable guests, and tonight we're going to really break down my guest, who's been on for weeks, breaking down Revelation, Rob Roselli, boxofsunglasses.com. But he wants to talk about his book now. He wants to break it down in the next couple shows. And then I'm going to spot certain research that I'd like to break down even in further detail, some of the things that we brought up on the show. So I want to welcome to the program Rob Roselli. Rob, how are you, man?
Hey, Neil, how you doing?
Fantastic. So let's kind of go break down, again, the reason, all the research you said, then I got to put it down on paper and write a book. Isn't that correct?
Well, the research, yeah. I mean, well, there's 2 books. I mean, the first one is called "They Live: Great Society of the Undead," and that's a really long one. That's available on the site. Again, the site is boxofsunglasses.com. That's one word. And the second book, I kind of took a different tack, and the Un-American Genocidal Complex is what we'll discuss tonight, and that's a much shorter book. It's designed for it to be a 2 to 3 hour read, and it's more of a snapshot approach to the so-called conspiracy that we've been discussing the past several months.
Right, and it's amazing what happens each week, things that occur from the attacks in Paris, as we talked about last week, to specifically enough the response to this, and then this whole climate change summit in Paris, and how much people are believing this. I'm absolutely blown away, because there's no proven truth about this, and yet all these countries are here, and they're in Paris where the attacks were. I mean, you couldn't write this stuff. Then what about the whole thing that's happening? We're going to get definitely into the book today, but what about what's happening in Chicago? Yes, that police officer did an idiotic thing, but yet we're going to blame all police officers after that?
Well, I mean, look, and we'll get into this during the book, but, you mentioned climate change, and I don't know how else to say it. I mean, what a colossal scam we're dealing with. It's a scam that almost fits the scam artist itself, so-called President Obama, in the White House as he traveled to Paris, claiming that the worst threat against the world is so-called climate change. It's, I would like to say it's a joke, but it's really not that funny with this clown in chief claiming everything going on in the world. And the worst threat that this guy can come up with is carbon dioxide. It's really, it's surreal, actually, to watch them talking about this, like I said, colossal scam. It's not science. And let me say this, everybody has different ideas as to why it keeps changing names, why this, what we're talking about, morphs into different names. Okay, remember, people may remember, and I remember this, going in middle school and back in the early 80s, and everybody was worried. The simple fact was that, pollution, the particles in the air were blocking the sun, and in a very simplistic result, or assumed result, was going to be that we were going to have a cooler Earth with less sunlight, and it was called global cooling. Then, of course, then we heard the other theory that, the incoming, I think it was the sun's heat or the light from the sun was so-called shortwave radiation that hit the earth and bounced off from long-wave radiation, and the carbon dioxide blocked the long-wave reflected radiation from dissipating back into the atmosphere and into space, and hence we had global warming. And then a lot of the data would not verify so-called global warming and rising temperatures, so then it just became climate change. And that's what people have been hearing. You know, once in a while, some moron will get on, some Al Goreite or somebody will get on and say, well, we have global warming, you know, Earth's temperatures are the warmest on record, and then some fact of reality will come out, and no, the Antarctic ice shelf is actually growing, you know, Earth's temperatures have actually decreased or haven't moved in decades, and then all this other data, and that all will torpedo the concept of global warming. But let me explain the real reason the name was just changed to simply climate change. The reason is because the maniacs, the psychopaths, and the genocidal freaks, okay, behind this movement, what they've done is they made the assumption that mankind itself is evil and unnatural, and whatever he does is causing so-called global warming, global cooling, / climate change. So in other words, no matter what happens to the Earth's climate, all your bases are covered because your assumption is going in that mankind is the cause of it, and you build your science around it to support your conclusions. So in other words, they've taken the scientific method and turned it on its head, okay? And to that, and in that vein, okay, on my site, boxofsunglasses.com, if you go to their site, okay, there's a table of contents, and when you come, you'll get to the American Genocidal Complex, which we will discuss, and you scroll, and you go to the next page, okay, there is, on page 11, called the New Age, and it's called Nature Worship. If you go on there, there is a link that talks about this in great detail, okay, it goes through this concept of the scientific method and the assumptions of the environmental movement and what it means and what's really going on into much more detail, and it goes in. And the sources, the number one source in that link is Al Gore's book itself called Memory and Inconvenient Truth. And I'm not saying this to be funny, is it the book, it's a fourth grade level color by number comic book. Okay.
Right.
His graphs are, there's no quantities on any of the graphs, okay, that he uses. There's no citations. They're just color by number garbage. There's nothing, there's no relevance to them. They don't mean anything. So really, I guess in summary, what I'm saying is that the global warming, climate change crowd, what it is really, it's a thin veneer of science that is trying to hide what really this movement is, which is nothing but a bunch of Maypole, Beltane, Gaia-worshipping nature freaks, genocidal maniacs, psychopaths that hate mankind and need some kind of cover up the fact that that's exactly what they are, which is a bunch of maniacs, okay? And if people think I'm just shooting from the hip, or I'm just throwing out terms, or I'm some kind of right-wing reactionary, but what's the word they use now? Inflammatory rhetoric, whatever it is on the news, whatever stupidity, the mimbos and the bimbos on the so-called news in this country, including Fox News, whatever the terminology is they're using, they think that's all I'm doing. I suggest they read some of the books that I quote from on my website, and we'll get into the Un-American Genocidal Complex, because that's where this is all leading. But, you know, books from the Club of Rome, okay, you know, a book called Mankind at the Turning Point that calls mankind a cancer, okay, you know, mankind must be eliminated, and this sort of thing, okay, this is really calling in of the herd of humanity. They're calling for genocide with the under the camouflage of this very thin veneer of climate change. And that's really what's going on. And this is really what I get into in the un-American genocidal complex. It's very important that people grasp this, because that's what's really going on here. And look, I'm not saying there's not legitimate environmental issues, or even that the concept of CO2 causing some kind of global calamity, I'm not saying it's not worth looking into as a potential cause to what the environmentalists are claiming it does. Okay, this is the scientific method, but again, if you look in the link, you go through the science and the facts, come to the conclusion and the reality very quickly that what they're saying is absolute garbage. But if you look at the tenacity with which they maintain this scam, it's like you have to come to the conclusion that, and this includes Obama, by the way, this pro-abortion, post-birth alive, baby alive abortion Obama. Okay, if you look and you get rid of this veneer, this is what's really driving these people. Okay, so in other words, another way of putting it is the modern environmental movement is really, in summary, nothing but a death cult using the excuse of the environment to hide its true intentions. It has nothing to do with helping the environment. And everything to do with mass death.
All right, so let's kind of break down the book some. I mean, you've kind of given a good overview, but what would you like to discuss tonight about the book? Specifically, I can go into probably some themes that we've talked about. One is definitely climate change. Another one is evolution. Another one of that is Planned Parenthood, the involvement of abortion. Another big thing is the Federal Reserve. Those are four major themes in your book. I would also probably look at specifically the way Revelation speaks to all those areas. And again, the downfall of the United States in general of losing its power and falling apart, and the liberal movement in general, and specifically enough specific people. What else would you say are themes in this? Did I nail a few of those?
Yeah, well basically, you mentioned the major points or supports that are talked about in this book. And what I tried to do with the un-American genocidal complex is tie all these things together in one nice, tidy package. Now, what I did is the quote conspiracy is basically, in a word, it is our reality itself. So in other words, remember we discussed this in weeks past in Matthew chapter 4, it's Satan tells Jesus that he basically owns the kingdoms of the world. Okay, and in my first book, I tried to cover, I maximized the coverage and the span and the discussion on the quote conspiracy. And it turned out to be a very long book. And actually, if you go and read that, and that's available as a PDF download, by the way, and I only asked for a donation for that one if you go and download it. There's instructions on there. But anyway, if you go, and it's actually several books crammed into one. I mean, the reason being very simply financial. I'm not Stephen King or some of these other guys. I can't just write a book and call my publisher and print a million copies and, get distributed and make $1 million. I had to kind of be efficient as I could with publishing expenses. But anyway, you could go in and you could read each one of those sections in each chapter almost individually. In many instances, not all. And really, it's a book of information in and of itself, and there's citations and footnotes, and everything's fully documented, as is anything on my website. But with this book, what I did is I took a snapshot of the quote conspiracy and Now, to answer your question, I think you mentioned the Federal Reserve, okay? And remember, we, you know, we discussed them, that they're the money changers, okay? They're the power behind
right.
the Whore of Babylon. Remember, they, you know, they were the centerpiece of the world economy. And a few people argue, you know, here in so-called reality, that the Federal Reserve, the United States Federal Reserve System, is the focal point of the world economy, a status which is rapidly deteriorating, by the way, you know, today, November 30th, 2015. But anyway, a few people will argue that. So when I say the un-American genocidal complex, what it really is, it's a takeoff. People may remember, you know, President Eisenhower, and this is a favorite among conspiracy theorists, he named something called the military-industrial complex, which is basically a conglomeration of your Rockefeller / J.P. Morgan / Carnegie, Standard Oil, General Electric, your Federal Reserve-centered companies, okay, the same gang that gave us the Federal Reserve System, okay, that being the Rockefeller family, J.P. Morgan, Rothschild banking interest is represented by people like Bernard Baruch and the Warburg brothers and these sorts of people. Okay, these are the ones that control our media, control our education system through things called the tax-exempt foundations. Okay, and they control the banks, as I said, the Federal Reserve System. You know, the New York Times, Time Magazine, CBS, etc. Some people know this group as the Council on Foreign Relations and its related tentacles, the Trilateral Commission. Okay, David Rockefeller and Zbigniew Brzezinski formed in 1970. The British Roundtable Groups, which is really derived from the so-called legendary King Arthur, okay, in England. They call themselves the Roundtable Groups or the Royal Institute of International Affairs. Okay, a person, you know, one of the main people involved in 1800s British elitism. Okay, was a guy by the name of Cecil Rhodes, and people may recognize that name. You know, Rhodes Scholar. Okay, centered around Oxford University. So in other words, it's elite university economic. / political, / media complex that controls the politicians, the banks, and hence the very lives in England and the United States is known in some circles as the military-industrial complex, as I just mentioned, or in some cases as the Eastern Establishment. What I've done in this book is I've renamed it and I've called it the Un-American Genocidal Complex.
Right, okay.
The UN, you know, another governing body formed by this group of criminals, this so-called body of world peace is the United Nations. Okay, and a lot of these movements, like the environmental movement that I, you know, we opened up the show with discussing, is centered at the United Nations. The United Nations founded mostly with Rockefeller money, along with communist Rockefeller agents like Harry Dexter White, Alger Hiss, and others. Okay, the same group. Now I'm sounding like, you know, the great Senator Joe McCarthy back in the early 1950s, and of course, as you know, to call somebody a McCarthyite or McCarthyism is today used to impugn somebody as somebody that's crazy or just blindly accusing people of something, as McCarthy supposedly did, and accusing people of being communist and exposing all of these Rockefeller, J.P. Morgan-related so-called tax-exempt foundations like the Ford Foundation. I personally take being called a McCarthyite as a compliment because he exposed a lot of these groups. Okay, for example, the Ford Foundation and related entities that give all these grants and money to left-wing, progressive, liberal, communist, God-hating, these types of people at our so-called universities. that have in turn gone out and permeated into our society and taken over the education system and have given us the dumbed-down, godless, materialistic, let's beg the government is our God crowd that is currently the United States. Okay, so in other words, this control is a top-down control. It started with the Federal Reserve System. Okay, they've taken that money.
Yeah, Rob, we're going to take a break. We're going to run into the Federal Reserve, but we do have to take a break. You're listening to Total Spotlight Show on the Total Education Network. And we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to Total Spotlight Show on the Total Education Network. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. On Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, TotalTutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, Google Plus, and also on Periscope at TotalTutor. And I'm glad the holidays are over, honestly. It is. I'm ready to get back to work and try to delve into the final month, which is December, which in two minutes will be December. And I can't believe it because it doesn't feel like it. And, Rob, I know you're not going to say it because of climate change. All I'm going to say is it's just a mild winter, hopefully. Hopefully the last couple winters have been so rough, Rob, that we're not going to have to deal with it this year, are we?
Well, you know, again, getting back to what we were talking about before, I mean, climate change, I mean, it's a ridiculous notion. The fact
it's cyclical.
That mankind
it's
is,
got, I mean, it's common sense. People should know it's cyclical, right? I mean, it's not easy.
Well, that's exactly correct, okay? You know, I mean, people are probably sitting there and say, oh, it's, you know, look how warm it is, you know. But, you know, that's in the northeastern United States. But then you go out west, and then they're getting pasted with severe winter weather and severe winter storms. And then, you know, then when we have the coolest summer on record, nobody says anything. You know, but look, I mean, the best example, you know, without going off into a detailed discussion on statistical analyses and how they take worldwide temperatures, you know, by removing temperature gauges and in outlying areas that tend to be cooling and concentrating them in urban areas that tend to give hotter readings, and whatever manipulations they do to get the temperature, just like I do with the unemployment rate, by the way. It's just the environmental equivalent of the way they cook the books with the unemployment rate and this sort of scam.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, you know, you just look, the simplest example is to look at the island of Greenland, okay, over there, you know, between the United States and Europe and the Northern Atlantic, okay, and just dissect the name Greenland or Greenland. See, the reason it's called Greenland is because people, it was actually used to be green at one time. Instead of, you know, whatever, 100 to 200 feet thick ice sheets, it was actually green. And, you know, and centuries ago, Vikings and whoever were actually farming it and living on it because it was green. Now, could you imagine, for example, the clamor that would result if the entire island or large sections of Greenland melted away and people started farming it again? You know, you just know that these wackos in the environmental movement, which is much more about the Gaia worship and nature worship, as we were discussing before, if people started farming it again, but then you would just sit there and say, well, wait a second, the reason it's called Greenland is because that's what was happening centuries ago anyway. So the point is, it's a ridiculous notion. It holds no basis in reality, but whenever there is some kind of temperature or climate anomaly, which is normal for the climate, there is no, quote, average climate, but these wackos would be screaming from the rooftops that we have to do something control carbon dioxide, which people should remember from rudimentary high school biology, is nothing but a key component of the interaction between humans and plants. Okay, you know, people breathe out carbon dioxide and then plants, you know, breathe it in to live, to respirate with, and that's just a basic function of life. And for these maniacs to come in and say, no, well, mankind produced carbon dioxide is bad, it's preposterous. Again, without going off on that tangent, it's on boxofsunglasses.com on page 11, where I get into this concept of New Age combined, or really what it is. It's really the actual worship of nature, and the deification of nature at the expense of mankind, which, by the way, has its roots, if you go back into the Old Testament, that people remember who was the number one enemy of God, or, you know, when the Israelites came into Canaan, the Canaanites, what were they worshiping? But Baal, okay, the god Baal, or something, which relates
right,
to
the
sun god Osiris, which we've talked about in great detail, and his supposed wife, known as Isis, or the female component, which in certain circles was known as Gaia, okay, which we know today in the modern environmental movement as Mother Earth, or you'll still see the term Gaia, but that's exactly what it's referring to. So in the Old Testament, when God says, go into Canaan and kill all the people, kill all the worshippers of Baal, and take down all the Asherah poles, and take down all their groves and their idols out in the woods, he's referring to the ancestors of the modern environmental movement. So you can see where you start looking underneath this crap that they feed you on the news, and you look under this thin veneer of science and what the environmental movement supposedly is, you start seeing connections to the Old Testament. And in fact, the quote conspiracy that we're talking about and the quote conspiracy that I tried to capture in the un-American genocidal complex, okay? So that is, I know it's kind of long-winded, but that's kind of the background of the book, okay? And if you look on the back cover, as I summarize this concept of the history of human sacrifice, okay, and really
right.
as it leads to the 20th century, and really, and I'm using Adolf Hitler, okay, because again, this is just a snapshot in time, okay, and I chose to focus on Adolf Hitler, and on a relative scale, people need to realize, as bad as Hitler was, okay, there are people, or there were people, and I'm saying today, November 2015, there's still people, but anyway, that were a lot worse in terms of just raw numbers, the amount of people in strict quantity that were murdered. You know, Stalin, okay, for example, Mao over in China, I mean, we're each, depending on which source you're reading, we're each responsible for somewhere between 50 to 100 million mass deaths in their own country. And, you know, Hitler, if you don't include World War II,
right.
Hitler was a relative lightweight, coming in at between somewhere between 6 million and 12 million, again, depending on which source you read, not just Jews, but people he didn't necessarily agree with, because again, you know, Hitler was a Darwinist, you know, in addition to all his other issues, okay, you know, survival of the fittest, so in his mind, he was justified, but anyway, he also killed people he saw as undesirable, or savages, or people he didn't care for, people that weren't white, you know, of the white Northern European Aryan stock he didn't particularly care for, so... You know, and I'm getting into the book a little bit, but anyway, the other half, 50% or so, what Hitler did away with were not necessarily just Jews for the sake of Jews, but were what he called undesirable human beings. Okay, but anyway, so that's what the focus is of this book, or at least a large portion of the book. So I guess we can segue. You know, with that background, we've probably spent the...
Exactly. So we get back to that. I love the background, but let's kind of break more things down, Rob. You have so much information. You have so much information to cover regarding this, and how, again, your followers, again, go to boxofsunglasses.com or follow you on Twitter, at Rob Roselli. You're going to find out there are a lot of people agreeing with you. You're really booming Twitter. You notice that people are really coming back and answering your tweets and agreeing with a lot of things you're saying. And you're not going to hear these things from a lot of people, but Rob speaks the truth. You're listening to the Total Spotlight Show on the Total Education Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Spotlight Show on the Total Education Network. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, TotalTutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, Google+, and also on Periscope, at TotalTutor. Anniversary week, exciting always to be at that final stage of December 6th, the big anniversary. The press release will come out next week, about 6 years, and the big things in the mix. Always interesting celebrities, always interesting guests. But I'm with Rob Roselli, author, at boxofsunglasses.com. And Rob, now let's break it down. How would you kind of say if people are going to purchase the book, when they open up the book, what types of information is going to come out first for them? A lot of the things you've explained, but now you're kind of giving us more of an overview, right?
Well, I would say it would help. I mean, for those listening, you know, to listen to this interview, it'll kind of set the stage or set the tone for the book because it is rather shocking. I mean, basically what I go on to say later in the book is that, you know, the AIDS virus, I remember back in the 80s, you know, we had AIDS all of a sudden, is in fact
right.
A purposely created man-made disease that was employed in sub-Saharan Africa and in specific cities in the United States against, you know, the American homosexuals in the United States. And by the way, the people in the homosexual movement really need to wake up and figure out who their real enemies are. And I don't want to use the word funny, okay? You know, and obviously, look, you know, as a Christian, as an imperfect being myself, okay, I cannot support the concept of homosexuality or gay marriage, but by the same token, I am not the religion of peace, you know, in places like Saudi Arabia where they throw gay people off rooftops, or much more sinister, okay, is the fact that the AIDS virus is what I'm saying, was purposely put into hepatitis B vaccines and distributed to the gay population in American cities, and we'll get into that. So they really need to wake up and figure out who their real enemies are, and it's not people like me. Who say don't necessarily support their right to marry or whatever it is, but people that really are using them as human guinea pigs, or in a case of so-called the religion of peace that Obama is letting into this country wholesale, that will literally, if they get their way, will be throwing them off rooftops as they do in Saudi Arabia. So again, I just throw that out there. Anyway, you know, anyway, I mean, so in other words, you know, what I chose to do, instead of coming right out and saying that, because I know something like that very notion, and people are going to disagree with it even after reading the book, and that's fine. But the reason I chose to go into the background and do the build-up of the environmental movement is to establish the mindset, depth of depravity of the crowd that we're dealing with. Again, what I call the un-American genocidal complex, you know, that word genocide, mass death, or what Eisenhower again called the Eastern Establishment, what, you know, other people call, or skull and bones, or the Council on Foreign Relations, or whatever name it is they use. Okay, you need to realize the depth of the depravity that we're dealing with here. And again, this ties into the last several weeks when we talked about Revelation 17 and 18 and the gravity of the situation we're talking about. Okay, this is why I call, you know, this crowd, you know, this comic book Antichrist crowd, you know, that's sitting around and focused on Israel and those are God's chosen people. And what a pile of crap that really is, because they're really missing this insidious, this disgusting, this beyond repugnant undercurrent of who's really controlling the world or what's really controlling the world and the evil that's controlling the world and has been really since the beginning of time. But in the instance, but to narrow it down again to this book has given rise or gave rise to one Adolf Hitler. Okay. So this is the premise, okay? And let's just get into the book, and I think we have about 15, 20 minutes left
right,
here.
Right, right. Yeah, we'll get to it next week for sure as well. Yeah, let's get to it. Tell us the specifics and stuff for sure.
But anyway, so I open up the book, okay? You know, and there's a preface in there, and then there's a background. And again, you know, start with the back cover. Okay, just for a quick snapshot of what I'm talking about. And then there's something in there called the Strecker Memorandum. Okay, now when I was in college, you know, I did an extensive report for, you know, I took a course in microbiology as part of my civil engineering curriculum.
Right.
And I came across the Strecker Memorandum, and I did the research, okay. And, and he was making outlandish claims, but I chose to, you know, based my report, so my, you know, one of our assignments as part of the curriculum for that course was to do a report, and I chose to cover this Okay, and what I found, this is going back to the late 80s, early 90s, okay, what I found as I went in and I did research, in scientific journals, by the way, well-established, you know, scientific journals called, you know, one was Lancet, Scientific American, Nature Magazine, Science, and I went and did my research, okay, and what I found, as was discussed on this video called the Straker Memorandum, was that Dr. Straker was exactly correct, okay, in that the AIDS virus had nothing to do. Remember, if people may remember, you know, they said, well, some green monkey attacked or bit some African over in Africa, and, you know, and boom, all of a sudden, you had AIDS all over Africa. Currently, in five specific cities in the United States amongst the American homosexual population. So if you just, you look, you don't have to be an epidemiologist to figure this stuff out, okay? And I'm just going to say for the record, I was not the best student, okay? I was an average to above average student. I'm not the brightest guy in the world, okay? But that being said, is that you don't need to be an epidemiologist to have your doctorate in epidemiology to stand back and say, wait a second, something does not make any sense here. Why are we, or were we being told that in Africa, that it spread all over Africa almost overnight and out of nowhere amongst the heterosexual population, but then almost concurrently, it shows up in the United States in specific cities amongst a very exclusive population? It just doesn't make any sense, okay? And that's the same rationale that people need to approach this with, is, you know, is look at the Kennedy assassination. And, you know, in that case, you don't have to be a ballistics expert to figure out and say, wait a second, the Kennedy assassination, from a purely objective standpoint of physics and ballistics, does not make any sense. Okay, the Federal Reserve System, the scam known as the Federal Reserve Economy, or this debt-based economy, so-called, that we have, you know, it's another example of the big lie. You step back and you look at it, it's more like the emperor has no clothes. It just does not make any sense, okay? It's the same type of mindset with which you need to read this book. And anyway, so that's what I open up with in the introduction, is a brief discussion on the Straker Memorandum. So people, so that kind of that kind of sets the background, and that was really the impetus behind writing this book. Okay.
Right.
And then I do get into talking about, you know, the pristine bullet and this concept of the big lie. Okay. And then I get into a discussion about with Anthony Sutton, who was well known amongst conspiracy kooks. He wrote a lot of books about America's secret establishment. Okay. And he's all well documented. What he calls the order. Okay. Which really refers to Skull and Bones, and people may have heard about Skull and Bone, you know, centered, and it's an actual organization that includes many highly powerful politicians in the United States history, both past and present, John Kerry, many members of the Bush family,
right.
Okay, many people that have established large corporations in the United States, a couple members of the Rockefeller clan, going back in history, it still exists. It's called Skull and Bones, okay? And in fact, their logo is on the cover of the book, right in the middle of the Un-American Genocidal Complex, and this is not an accident, okay? And it has a lot of tie-ins to the Georgia Guidestones, okay? I do not, and who are also pictured on the cover of the book, and maybe we'll just talk about that real quick. To cover the Georgia Guidestones and, of course, the United Nations, you know, who we've discussed briefly, are the three photos on the cover of the book, okay? So when I talk about the order, what I'm really talking about is Skull and Bones. And there are many connections of Skull and Bones to things like, you know, obviously the United Nations, it's the same crowd that founded them, that's, you know, that are members of Skull and Bones, and the Georgia Guidestones, okay? And I cover the Georgia Guidestones in great detail on several links on my website, again, boxofsunglasses.com. And in section 3 of my first book, okay, They Live, Great Society of the Undead, I go into a lot of discussion about the Georgia Guidestones and what they really are, what I call the anti-Ten Commandments. Okay, and I don't want to go off on that tangent right now. I mean, we can spend several shows just talking about the Georgia Guidestones because this stuff all interconnects. But anyway.
Right. And that's interesting. That's ones you have to kind of jot down for me, Rob. And like you said, we're going to the book now, but I'm interested. You're right. We can go into a long journey when it comes to any of these topics for sure.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, just to speak to that for a second, I mean, the rabbit trails, when you start getting into this stuff, and I try to do my best, and I'm imperfect like anybody else out there, and I try to do my best to go far enough down these rabbit trails to say, hey, look, this is what the story is, but if you try to go too deeply into these rabbit trails as to who really killed Kennedy and, you know, who were the people or this sort of thing, it's almost like we're being toyed with are the people running the show or who really owns the Federal Reserve and this sort of thing. What ends up happening is you get so focused and so absorbed into that pursuit is that you lose focus of the overall picture. And this is almost what the elites want. They want the so-called conspiracy kooks to get lost in all these intricate and interwoven spider webs. So that's why I keep going off on these tangents. I try to do my best to explain things to give people enough of a background to appreciate the magnitude of what we're dealing with. And again, I'll say it again, and I'll keep saying it, ultimately leads back to the Bible, specifically in along the vein of Matthew chapter 4, where Satan tells Jesus he already owns the kingdoms of the world. This is going back 2,000 years, okay? So this is a crowd we're talking about, a crowd of pure evil and lies and the father of lies, okay? Nothing but darkness and deception and death, okay? And what I'm trying to do is penetrate that veneer and tell people what's really going on. But anyway, so again, that is a discussion. That's the introduction, okay, and the order, okay. And one other thing I should mention, in a particular case of this book, some people may be talking or may be discussing or may have heard Louis Farrakhan and his, his henchmen, you know, going out there and saying the same thing that I'm basically saying, okay, and that is that AIDS was created in the United States in microbiology labs here and deployed, okay, or disseminated through vaccines in sub-Saharan Africa, okay. But I'm very specific, okay, in introduction, okay, that I want as much separation from these idiots and the Nation of Islam and Louis Farrakhan and his crowd, okay, that are saying basically the same thing, okay. I don't want to be associated with those people because those people are so stupid. When they go and support a guy like Barack Obama, who's rapidly pro-abortion, okay, to the extent that he voted against something called the Born Alive Infant Abortion Protection Act, which is basically nothing but black genocide. If you go and you read the history of the abortion movement in this country, okay, and we'll get into this a little bit later, but its intent, one of its major goals, was to eliminate blacks and so-called undesirables in this country before they were even born. Okay, so by supporting this half-white scam artist, okay, his African father supposedly and his white liberal mother raised by his white grandparents, for them to go in and support a guy like that is the height of stupidity in the context that they're for the Nation of Islam and they, you know, they're just all this anti-white rhetoric and all this other stuff. These imbeciles don't even realize that they're being killed off by this very American, by this very real un-American genocidal complex, which is really the genesis of the abortion movement in this country.
So we're going to take one more break before we're going to continue the last segment, breaking down again his book. Go to boxofsunglasses.com, purchase all of the different things Rob has on his website. Un-American genocidal. I always mess this up, Rob. Go ahead and again the book's name.
It's the un-American genocidal complex, you know, the un being the United Nations, the part of the un-American.
So go to boxofsunglasses.com. So we'll get back. More of Rob Pacelli. You're listening to Total Spotlight Show on the Total Education Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to Total Spotlight Show on the Total Education Network and TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, TotalTutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, Google Plus. I'm with Rob Pacelli, and you can go right now and find out all the information and follow him at Rob Pacelli. You tweet a lot, Rob, aren't you? You're getting out there with whatever is in the news, and you like that response, seeing, and you try to respond to everyone that responds to you, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I do the best I can, and again, you know, you're helping me out, you know, with some of the more, you know, advertising-related tweets, but I try to do the best I can to get on there, and look, and people need to understand, you know, again, I'm not Stephen King or Donald Trump. I can't just, you know, I can't, you know, run for president with my own money, and I don't just sit around writing books and selling books and, you know, sitting around my house and then thinking this stuff up. I actually have a full-time job that I have to go to. So I do try to get on the Twitter, you know, once a day, once or twice a day and respond to people and put out tweets and this sort of thing. But, yeah, I have been noticing that my followers have been picking up at a nice steady pace, and I appreciate the follows and this sort of thing for people that are listening. Okay. But again, as far as the book, I mean, on my website, I don't advertise. You're not going to find these annoying pop-up ads. I'm not selling survival gear. I'm not selling a lot of videotapes. The only thing for sale that supports my efforts to be on shows every week like this and some other radio interviews that I've done across the country, okay, is the sale of this book, The Un-American Genocidal Complex. So, I would appreciate it if people, you could either buy the book on Amazon or you can download it as a PDF. I'm only charging $5 for the PDF download. And I think on Amazon, I don't know what it is. I think it's, you know, $11 or $12 or something like that if you want to get the hardcover. I'm still old-fashioned. I'm still into hardcover books.
Right.
Anyway, this people can really help me out in that regard. But everything else on the website, you know, the links, everything I talk about is basically there for their perusal. Okay. But anyway, getting back to the book. So basically what I've done in the show is given the basic background, you know, in the lead up to the rationale behind writing this book. And we've gotten through basically the preface and the introduction. Okay. And one more thing I should add to this, okay, you know, when I was a student at Vanderbilt University in Tennessee back in the late 80s, okay, there was a certain senator, okay, and I took all my research and the Strecker Memorandum and all my documents, and I want to say I had about a foot-high pile of documents, news articles from different scientific magazines, okay, and I dropped it off at a certain senator, Al Gore, from Tennessee. Okay, I contacted his office. This is back in the days when I still thought, you know, the United States government and Congress and these sort of things, you know, when I was, you know, you were naive in college, and just like the millennials are today, in voting for a scam artist like Obama. But I like to think I was a little bit smarter than them. But anyway, back in the days when I thought, you know, the United States government was on our side, I contacted his office. I literally dropped this information you know, to his receptionist at the front desk. I contacted them. They told me to come in, and I did get a letter in response from Al Gore himself, Senator Al Gore, saying he would look into this. And, of course, I never heard from him again, okay? And I have to admit, and part of the reason I never really pursued it, because everybody that I talked to about this basically told me I was crazy or I was an idiot or a conspiracy kook or whatever the terminology is, and I kind of gave up on it myself, and I kind of, you know, let all the information collect dust. I threw a lot of it in the garbage, literally, and I just said, well, I just kind of went about my life and forgot about it because I capitulated to the opinions of everybody else that I was listening to at the time. Okay, and obviously at this time now, I couldn't care less what people think of me, what they're going to say about me. The facts are the facts, and the evidence is there, plain as day. But anyway, So I know that the so-called leader of the environmental movement, this former senator, former Vice President Al Gore, I know he knows about all this information because I gave it to him and he responded to it. You know, how deeply he looked into it, I cannot say.
Right,
I know
exactly.
That it was presented to him, so he must have at least looked through it and reviewed it, okay? And then who knows what he did with it from there. But anyway, so it's very interesting, you know, the face of this whole global warming, climate change scam is none other than Al Gore. So that's just an interesting little tidbit of information that people, you know, for people to know that's out there, that again, that I talk about in the opening section, the introduction and the preface of the book, okay? And then moving on to section two, okay, I talk about the creation of Adolf Hitler, okay? And in fact, he was created in the United States. If you go back into the history, and this goes back, this all ties together, by the way. If you go back to World War One. Okay, and the real reasons behind it, okay, and you know, historians to this day still cannot figure out, just as, you know, people that were alive during World War One could not figure out, you know, why exactly they were fighting this war to the extent that they were and why the United States got involved, because we never really had any kind of issue with Germany prior to World War One, and all of a sudden the Federal Reserve comes along, okay, and Woodrow Wilson, who was below pond scum, by the way. The more you read about Woodrow Wilson,
right,
and what a lowlife that guy really was, and you start and you realize the so-called conspiratorial view of history, and you look at what Woodrow Wilson did to this nation, okay, he is nothing but an early 20th century version of one Barack Hussein Obama, okay? This guy was the lowest of the low, a real dirtbag, okay? A self-aggrandizing, egomaniac, psychopath who gave us the Federal Reserve, which set up the Great Depression, gave us our so-called Keynesian debt-based economy that we have to this day. He signed that into law. He sold us out. Okay, he set up a lot of the so-called progressive liberal policies that we have today, and he got us involved in World War One. Okay, that was the whole setup, the Lusitania. Okay, by multiple historical records, was nothing but a false flag operation that served to get us involved in World War One. After Woodrow Wilson, you know, the great American progressive, you know, Hillary Clinton calls this guy a great American progressive and a model for her own presidential run that we're seeing today, this disgrace Hillary Clinton. So to dumb down people in America, this American education system educated boobs bothered to look into that claim of Hillary Clinton that she is, you know, she's basically channeling Woodrow Wilson. They realized, like, wait a second, woman, is this what you really want to do? I mean, if people were educated, her presidential campaign would have ended right as soon as she said something like that. But anyway, the point being is that the environment after World War One gave rise, it put the bankers, okay, the Federal Reserve crowd who made millions and billions off the so-called Great War, World War One, it gave rise to this depressing environment post-World War One that gave rise to this Austrian loudmouth, okay, this pro-German nationalist known as Adolf Hitler, okay, that environment, okay, because you had a depression in Germany, you had hyperinflation, they lost control of their economy, okay, it was the Ruhr Valley, and a lot of their industrial capacity was literally stolen from them by the so-called victors of World War One, England, France, and the United States. They had no economy. So basically what they had to do was print money just to survive, which if you sit there and you look and say, wait a second, you know, they had no industrial base. Their industrial base was taken away to compensate. They had to print money to survive. And sit there and say, wait a second, that sounds awfully familiar, and it should, because that's the very That's these very United States today, November 2015. But anyway, so there are a lot of parallels in that respect. Okay.
Wow.
Anyway, he gave rise to Adolf Hitler, and what he did was basically he recovered Germany's economy by preparing it for war. Okay, so in other words, you had this window of time where Germans were very happy, you know, everything was free, you had free health care, you know, everything was great, you had everybody was working. But what they were doing is they were taking loans from J.P. Morgan, or J.P. Morgan, something called the Dawes Plan, and these sorts of things, which were basically monetary loans to Germany to help it through this post-World War Depression. Okay, but what it was really doing was arming itself and preparing itself for World War II. And there were companies, and this is basic historical truth. Okay, you're not going to hear about this in your glossed over, dumbed down history classes. But companies like the Rockefeller Standard Oil, okay, had a spinoff called IG Farben, okay, which was basically the industrial backbone of World War II Germany. Okay, that's direct. You know the Rockefellers. You know those scumbags, those lower than low life Rockefeller families are behind a lot of these control of the media. Can really control the world, okay? And they in turn are funded by British Rothschild interests. Again, this ties into the Council on Foreign Relations and those issues we were talking about at the top of the show. But anyway, you had General Electric, Ford Motor Company.
Right. I can't believe we're running out of time, Rob. What are we going to discuss next week? More about the book? Is that what we're looking to talk about next week?
Exactly. And then what we'll do is we'll pick it up where we are leaving off tonight, and that is the build-up of one Adolf Hitler and what really was the power structure, you know, both politically, philosophically, in terms of the Darwinist and American eugenicist and industrially, you know, as we're talking about now. I guess we can pick it up from here and develop this more fully as we move through the un-American genocidal complex.
All right, go to boxsunglass.com, purchase the book. Follow Rob at Rob Roselli. Tweet him out. Ask him questions, whatever. You have some interesting dialogue, to say the least. It'll continue to be. But good talking, Rob, and we'll talk next week, okay?
I know. Thanks a lot. God bless.
God bless. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, that was Rob Roselli. Take care, everyone. We'll be live tomorrow. Take care.
There are lots of things you can spend your tax refund on, but one thing you don't have to spend it on? A new smartphone. Switch to MetroPCS now and get not one, but two free 4G LTE smartphones for brands like Samsung and LG. Plus, you're on T-Mobile's blazing fast nationwide 4G LTE network. Hurry, switch to MetroPCS and get two free smartphones after instant rebate. One heck of a deal, only at MetroPCS. Limited time offer. Sales tax not included in phone price. Coverage and services not available everywhere. See store for details and terms and conditions.